This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time, I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Welcome to a Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and today is Friday, August 29th, here at Gillette Stadium. We have Mike Parenti, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo giving you all the latest. So what's been going on, guys?
Well, Lori, we are smack dab in the middle of cuts week here at Gillette Stadium. Earlier in the week, I'll go over the initial cuts down to the 75-man roster limit. The first move that the team made was placing guard Stephen Neal on the physically unable to perform list reserve type. He will be missed for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Then they also reserve type.
Okay, as opposed to the active type during training camp. Paul Perillo,
did you say physically inept?
Physically unable.
I am verbally inept here, so I will continue down this list. Ryan O'Callaghan, right tackle, was placed on injured reserve, so he is lost for all 17 weeks of the season and the postseason. And the team released a trio of players: Kyle Echol, fullback. Most notably, I think, here, cornerback Jason Webster, a veteran free agent addition this spring, and guard Ryan Wendell, rookie free agent out of Fresno State. So we will start first, Paul, with Stephen Neal. Not a real surprise there. I think we all saw that coming as we got late in camp, and he still was on PUP.
No, you guys nailed that one, and you guys also nailed the Jason Webster one. I was a little.
I nailed Jason Webster.
I thought in particular that Webster would stay because I thought he would be a. That's good for you, by the way.
Thank you.
I thought that Webster would stay because of the kind of the lack of depth back there at cornerback, but obviously Bill felt he saw enough and was concerned about the durability issues to let him go. Neal, I thought he probably would be ready before week 7, so there was a chance that he could start the season on the active roster, even if he wasn't quite ready. Elsewhere, you know, the Ryan O'Callaghan move, I think we all saw coming when was the last time we did a PFW Progress? Tuesday?
Sure.
All right.
Tuesday.
But, you know, I don't think there's any real surprises there. Mildly surprised at Jason Webster, but certainly I don't think anybody was going to lose any sleep over any of those 5 moves.
And it is now Friday, which means we are one day away from the big round of cuts when the team will have to get down to the 53-man roster limit. Michael Parenti.
Yes.
After the preseason loss at the Giants, give us a little recap on some of the guys that are on the bubble and maybe what they did against the New York Giants.
I still think Matthew Slater's on the bubble as a kick returner because I don't think he has any other value other than on special teams. And once again,
a lot of safety work against the Giants.
Yeah, and not much good safety work, and doesn't get a ball past the 30-yard line on a kickoff return again. So I don't really see where he has any role right now.
So you're willing to go with Lawrence Maroney and Ellis Hobbs as your kick returner?
Ellis Hobbs, yeah. And I know it's a risk because I know he has some injury concerns, and he had 2 major injuries last year, and you don't want to put too much stress on his body at this point, but Slater's not really giving you anything right now, and I don't think it's worth wasting a roster spot for a guy who does one thing and doesn't even do it particularly well right now.
I'm kind of with Mike on this one. I think that Slater could be a dynamic kick returner, but I'm not sure that's enough to warrant a roster spot. And we talked about this also on Tuesday. I'm not sure I remember Bill keeping a strict kick returner. He's kept specialists that do one thing on special teams. I'm not sure I ever remember him doing a kick returner that's all he did. And I agree with Mike totally. We saw him play a lot of safety last night against the Giants. None of it very well.
Mm-hmm. No question.
He looked small. He looked overpowered at times.
He leads with his chest while tackling.
The whole Chad Brown there. The defender was simply overpowered. Well, that happened to Matthew Slater several times. I do think that he could be a dynamic kick returner. The fact that he hasn't really gotten past the 30 to me is somewhat irrelevant. He hasn't had that many opportunities. But I thought it was telling last night on the opening kickoff of the game, he was back deep where all the starters were out there.
Right.
You know, the starters on both sides of the ball, you know, Matt Light, first appearance of the preseason, they were all out there. So the fact that he took the opening kick told me that more than likely he has an inside track to stick around.
If we're going to talk about dynamic returners, I don't think he's going to make the team, but C.J. Jones continues to show that he can make big plays.
He's the ultimate trick-or-treat guy.
Unfortunately,
really
some of those plays end with the ball in the other team's hand or one of his teammates having to dive on a loose ball, but a couple 40-yard returns, both punt and kick return.
Yep.
He truly has been, you know, trick-or-treat in the preseason, has made some of the worst mistakes on the field for this team, but has also made some of the most dynamic plays in the return game, and even on offense he had a couple little plays. So, you know, I don't think he's going to make the team, but he's shown some spark.
You and I have sort of had some fun at CJ's expense because he's been a guy who really doesn't – I don't even know if he has an accrued season under his belt yet, but he's been around since
forever.
Like 03. Well, you're seeing why.
Right.
He has that tantalizing athleticism. When he gets the ball in his hands and he actually holds on to it, he usually makes something happen. problem is he's making things happen for both teams, and that's not what Belichick likes.
Yeah, I was pretty high on the guy a week ago, but last night really turned the corner for me.
You were pretty
high a
week ago.
He just can't keep putting the ball on the floor, on the ground, rather. Yeah, I was pretty high last week. You know, he does have big play capability on offense and special teams, and we saw a couple of big catches against Philly, but it's not enough to make this roster. And even with the lack of depth at wide receiver, I don't really see a role for him now. Too many drops in the preseason.
No question.
I think he's another guy, too. You can let him go and probably get him back 4 or 5 weeks down the road if you need him.
Some of the other things I thought were interesting in the Giants game Thursday night, the 19-14 loss, the quarterback position. Kevin O'Connell clearly played the best of any of the three guys that played. Matt Cassel started the game. Continues to almost get limited in his reps because Tom Brady's not there, and as such, he has served as the starter against the Giants. That meant starters go two series. Matt Cassel's in there. Again, no productive drives, two punts, two first downs in that time period, and then he's on the bench. Matt Gutierrez came in, I thought was okay. His interception came at the hands or at the tied-up feet of Chad Jackson, who fell down in the end zone, leading to an interception.
Don't forget that he threw one earlier on that possession, too, that was overturned by replay, which was a terrible
quarterback
throw.
Play, I thought it was interesting. Bill Belichick talked about it in the postgame. That's one of the interesting positions. They're going to have to decide how they handle it in terms of the roster. I want to get you guys summation of where the quarterback position is, who goes, who's kept, and what's happening there.
Mike?
It's like a battle of just who wasn't the worst, you know, who was the best. I mean, really, because neither one was good last night. I'm talking about Gutierrez and Castle. I don't know. You can flip a coin here, really, because I don't think they're going to be able to keep all four on the roster in some capacity, because we talked about Kevin O'Connell and the practice squad. Pretty good chance he'll get scooped up if they try to play that game. So my guess is they're going to keep him, and it's going to either be Castle or Gutierrez cut. And I guess right now I'd probably go with Gutierrez. And last week I was a Castle guy. So I flip-flop
a
lot on
this.
So next week, by Saturday, I could be Castle by 9 a.m.
It's appropriate
I don't really know.
Mike Felger is walking by as Mike Parenti is just flip-flopping his opinions.
That's true.
He'll probably learn from the best.
I'll take Gutierrez right now.
I'll stick with Gutierrez as well, only for the reason that he's a year younger in his development.
Just to be a contrarian, I'll say Castle, just because of his experience of having been the backup in the past couple of years.
But I think we've seen that.
But I agree with everything
O'Connell
Mike said.
Is the guy that has the talent, and he made that play, the touchdown to Chad Jackson, a 16-yarder where he lofted in there, perfect throw, and maybe more importantly, came after he checked out of a play, and he admitted in the post-game locker room, that's a play probably 2 to 3 weeks ago I wouldn't have mentally been able to check out of and make the right call. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how quickly he can develop because, obviously, he is the backup of the future. Can it be this year at any point? Can you risk just going with him on the roster and keeping Vinny Testaverde or a veteran on speed dial? I don't know. If Bill thinks both of the Mats stink, is there a chance he just says, guys, thanks for the effort and go about your business?
Does that qualify as a surprise cut if he cut them both?
I would be mildly surprised if he cut them both, but not based on what we've seen. What our eyes tell us in practices and preseason game action is neither Matt Gutierrez nor Matt Cassel are NFL quarterbacks.
And you give Vinny a call this time and make sure that he doesn't accept someone else's offer before you
Beyond
get
a call, I send him a certified
flowers?
Delivery that might have a couple grand in it just to keep him on.
It's a tough game to play, though, too. That's a tough game to play because you're going to have to fill that roster spot somewhere. So, in other words, you're assuming that spot's going to be filled at a position where you need depth. So, it's going to be hard to cut that guy again in 3 weeks if you want to bring Testaverde back. So
I just think
those are all decisions you have to really think
about.
Are
you any less comfortable with Kevin O'Connell as your backup than you were 2 years ago with Matt Cassel as your backup?
I'm not any less comfortable with him as my backup right now than I am with either of the other two.
So I think that's a possibility. I think that would surprise some people, but I think both Mats could go. A couple other quick notes before we move on. Kelly Washington filled in for Wes Welker with the first group in the slot, had a couple catches there. Be interesting to see if he can have his role develop a little bit on offense. You know, all it takes is one reception since he didn't have a single catch last year. John Lynch saw extended time at safety, subbed in with the first unit, and then basically stayed on the field almost the entire game alongside your boy Matthew Slater at safety. What do we make of that? Is he just getting game reps that he needs, or is he on the bubble to make this roster?
I think it's probably the former. I probably think that they just want to get him as much action as he can, but you can't sugarcoat this. He hasn't looked good.
Terrible.
He looks
not
slow.
At all.
He looks old. He's missed tackles. He's been out of position at times. I know that they brought him in during camp. He's a respected veteran who's had a terrific NFL career. The odds would be strongly against him getting cut. But I think you made the point last night, Andy. Based on what we've seen on the field,
he should be cut.
He probably should be cut.
Okay, we're going to close this podcast then. Paul Perillo, give me your biggest surprise cut.
I really don't think any of those things are going to happen that we talked about, both quarterbacks
just
and Lynch.
15 minutes.
I don't have a surprise cut because I think all the things that we talked about as possibilities, I really in my heart don't think they're going to happen.
Right.
I think Lynch would be a big surprise. I think both quarterbacks going would be a big surprise. But beyond that, what are you talking? A guy like Victor Hobson, who was a free agent they brought in.
I think he's a lock to get cut.
I don't think that would be much of a surprise. You know, Larry Izzo is a guy that's name's been thrown out there. I don't think he's going anywhere, so I don't really have one.
Okay, Mike Parenti.
John Lynch was a fine champ, but his time has passed.
I wish him well. John Lynch will not be cut. They will give him the option to announce his retirement.
You didn't even get that, do you?
No. John Lynch will retire on Saturday. That's my prediction. Bold prediction outside the box. He will not be a Patriot in 2008, but someone who will be a Patriot in 2008, the great Lori Baranski. We send it back to you.
That was your first compliment ever. I appreciate that. Thank you.
It.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for listening. Until next time, go Pats.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.